Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today I'll be joined by Paralympic gold medalist and ESPN personality Victoria Arlen. She's going to discuss the mystery illness that left her in a vegetative state for 2 years beginning at age 11, how she maintained hope during her darkest days, and how prayer and faith moved her towards healing and recovery. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Imagine being mentally aware of what's going on around you, but being unable to talk, move, or even blink your eyes. That's what happened to ESPN broadcaster Victoria Arlen when she was just a young girl and was struck by a mystery illness that doctors kept insisting was all in her mind. Well, it wasn't in her mind. She lost the use of her arms and legs. She had trouble swallowing and felt like she was choking. And eventually she felt her mind short-circuiting and she fell into a vegetative state for 2 years. But eventually she came out of it and Victoria fought her way back to health and a full life with help from her family and her faith. She shares her story in the book Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. To tell us more, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Victoria Arlen. Victoria, it's so great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Now, I saw you on Dancing with the Stars. I thought I was familiar with your story, but reading this book is kind of mind-blowing because you went through things that I never would have expected, and yet you emerged still a hope-filled, faith-filled person. But first, take us back to what started happening to you when you were 10 and 11 years old.
When I was 10 years old, I started getting sick, just kind of with the flu, pneumonia. I was the kid that never really got sick. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 11, I developed two incredibly rare neurological conditions called transverse myelitis and acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, and very quickly slipped into a vegetative state.
Wow. But at the time, the doctors did not know what it was, right?
No, the doctors did not know what was going on. We actually didn't get a final complete diagnosis until 2013, and this started in 2006.
Wow. I mean, as I'm reading this, I know your parents took you to the ER because you lost so much of your bodily functions, and the doctors kept just telling you that it's all in your head, it's all in your head. Did you ever start believing them?
No. I mean, I think when anyone questions your integrity, it's incredibly insulting and disheartening, mm-hmm. but I knew what I was feeling was real. I mean, it was very sad that the doctors didn't believe me, but I knew to be true. I knew what was true and that something was seriously wrong. And I just had to keep fighting for an answer.
Sure. Well, how did your mom, dad, and your three brothers react to all this that was going on? Because it must have been tough on your parents, especially watching their little girl at such a young age go through these symptoms.
Oh, they were devastated. I mean, they were absolutely devastated, but they really just stepped up and tried to really just like be there for me and help me and do whatever it is they needed to do to make sure I was okay.
Yeah. Well, you come from a Christian family where I know faith was important in your household. While you were going through all this, what were your prayers or conversations with God like during this downward spiral of yours?
I just told God, I said, you know, I trust your plan and I'm grateful that I have another day, but please, if it's your will, I would really love a second chance at life.
Yeah. Well, you titled one of your chapters Hell, and that was when you were in a psychiatric facility. What made that experience so hellish on earth for you?
I mean, I think when you read the chapter, there was just a lot of abuse, a lot of mistreatment by medical personnel, and I think that's what really came down to making it hell, was just being completely defenseless and helpless and at my most vulnerable, and doctors and nurses taking advantage of that.
Yeah. I'm talking to Victoria Arlen. You'll know her from Dancing with the Stars. You'll know her from ESPN. She's a Paralympic gold medalist. She has a new memoir out called Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. You've always been an optimistic, hopeful, positive person before all this happened. How did you manage to hold on to hope while all this was going on?
My faith, Jesus, honestly, just knowing that my story doesn't end in defeat, and just knowing that God is bigger and God is stronger, and just trusting his plan for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you reached a point where you felt like you wanted to die just to be freed from the abuse and the pain. And, you know, a Bible verse, Isaiah 41:10, got you to, do you remember that Bible verse, and it got you to keep going? How did that Isaiah 41:10 verse help you?
I think it just reminded me that I needed to keep going, and reminded me that God is bigger and that God has me. It brought me comfort, and I think there was so much chaos going around in my body and in the world, and the one peace I could find was when I really just prayed to God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, another one of the things, we talked about your family before, and one of the things that struck me is that your brothers, William, Cameron, and LJ, they struck me as really rising to the occasion of loving and caring for you when you were in the hospital and beyond that. And even though they were essentially still boys when this all happened to you, they really struck me as young boys or young men of character. Talk about how your brothers reacted to your illness and what your relationship with them is like.
They were single-handedly just so incredible, so strong, so positive. I've always been very close to my brothers. Mm-hmm. They have been my best mm-hmm. friends, and to see, you know, to see them really step up when I needed them the most was really incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And what about your mom is also called out for special attention. How did her
yes.
strength get you through this whole experience?
Oh my gosh, she is one of the most incredible humans, and she just has this unshakable faith mm-hmm. and trust with God, and she just is like, she's amazing. There really are no words. And she, I call her my spiritual gangster.
Nothing like a mother's love, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Victoria Arlen about her memoir, Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. Victoria fell into a vegetative state when she was just 11 years old for a couple of years. And, you know, when you were in this vegetative state and you came out of it in a way, you became mentally aware, but, you know, the people around you couldn't move, you couldn't talk, you couldn't even blink. The people around you didn't know you were following what was going on. To be locked in, like the title of the book says, again, how did you get through that? Was it just prayer over and over again?
You mean how did I get through each day?
Yeah, how did you get through mentally, just dealing with the hardship of that?
Honestly, my faith. Mm-hmm. My faith tremendously, and trusting God and praying a lot. And then just also having hope and optimism that the next day would be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, into this time of darkness, there comes a priest from Africa named Father Bashabora, who gave you a ray of hope.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about him and what the interaction was there?
Father Bosch made a house call on my birthday, on my 15th birthday, and he was the first person that really just gave us hope. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was so doom and gloom, and this, you know, he just was like, this, you know, she will be healed. She will be healed. And Dad, he prayed over me, prayed with my family, and that just was so, so tremendous.
Yeah, so just hearing that confidence gave you confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking to Victoria Arlen. Her book is called Locked In. We mentioned the abuse part before, and I notice that at the beginning of the book, it starts with Jesus's quote, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Have you been able to forgive the people who abused you at that time, or is forgiveness still a work in progress for you?
I actually have been able to forgive them. I realized that a lot of my pain was by holding on to the hurt, and really being able to sit down with my pastor and to kind of dive into the word, that scripture really struck with me. And that's why I really wanted to begin the book with that, because it's very true that forgiveness, not for them, but for my own sake, so that I can be free from the strongholds of that abuse.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, you're by holding on to the resentment, it's almost like you're hurting yourself more than the other person. So
completely. I mean, most people that hurt you go on with their lives, and you're kind of left picking up the pieces. And so it's really cool to be able to have, you know, this forgiveness and this peace.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's also, you know, we see it as spiritual advice from Jesus, but technically it's also physical medical advice, because again, if you hold on to that resentment, it affects your body too. So you are doing the yes. healthy thing for your body and your spirit too by forgiving.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm talking to Victoria Arlen. Her book is Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. You'll know her from Dancing with the Stars and ESPN. She's also a Paralympic gold medalist. One of the most uplifting stories in the book is when you're finally able to do the one thing that we all take for granted, and that's blinking. And tell us what happened and why that ability was such a turning point for you.
Doctors were trying to get a hold of to stop the seizures, and I wasn't sleeping at the time. And so they gave me a sleeping medication, and literally it didn't put me to sleep, but it actually, it stopped the neurotransmitters that were sending the signals for the seizure. And it literally was the kind of my door opening, and then I realized I had my eyes, and I was able to make eye contact with my mommy.
Wow! And then mom, of course, reacted pretty, I'm sure, excitedly.
Yes. Oh my gosh, she freaked out. Like literally, she freaked out. As did I, and everyone here. It was just it was the first time being able to let my family know that I was in there.
Yeah, and that's got to be a tough thing, because they probably assumed you weren't cognitively aware, but here you were the whole time remembering and understanding, and what a turning point that was. It's just such a wonderful chapter, and I have to say, you write this book beautifully. I felt like I was going through everything with you, so it was
for
a first-time author, this is a pretty incredible story.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my conversation with Victoria Arlen. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The most difficult trials in life demand that we dig deep within ourselves to find the capacity for courage that God has bestowed upon the human soul. But courage begins with an act of the will to persevere through pain, suffering, and even failure. To help you along that path, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Finding the Courage Within. It offers insights on building character, cultivating the ability to act courageously, and making sacrifices for the greater good. To request your free copy of Finding the Courage Within, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with ESPN broadcaster and former Dancing with the Stars competitor Victoria Arlen about her book, Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. You know, we usually associate post-traumatic stress with members of the military returning from war zones, but, you know, this is kind of a war zone that you endured, and the post-traumatic stress was an issue. How did you deal with it and then move beyond it?
A lot of crying.
Okay.
A lot of crying. My family really rallied behind me and supported me and were there for me and just were like, you know, you need a lot of family, you need a lot of love, you need a lot of Jesus. So my pastor helped me tremendously, and it was just talking about it. I think we tend to want to hold everything in, and it's like, you know, it's just like, it's really cool to see the people that really stand up and are there for you. And that's really what they did. And just a lot of faith and finding peace. And pain is meant to be felt. And so that was a big learning curve for me.
Sure. Well, I know in the book you write that your reaction to painful things is to bottle up feelings and keep them inside until you finally break down. Have you gotten over that, or is this still a struggle?
I think so. I'd like to hope so. I would hope that this book helped me with that. I think it's a work in progress. It's, It's definitely one of the things I'm working on, but it's definitely a lot better than it once was, for sure.
Sure. Well, at what point in the recovery process, because, I mean, you endured so much, you were still confined to a wheelchair, and then you start thinking you want to get involved in sports in some way, and you started out with hockey. What made you make that decision?
I come from a hockey family,
mm-hmm.
When I found out about hockey, it was just like, it was really, really, really an eye-opening experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into a sled, and it was kind of love at first sight.
So sled hockey was the thing that kind of got you going.
Oh, yeah, I always love it at first sight. And then it was my hockey coaches that encouraged me to get back into swimming.
Sure, sure. Well, yeah, swimming, you're right, becomes your refuge. How did that, I mean, had you been into swimming before you got sick, or was this a new thing for you?
I had been a swimmer before I got sick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this was like my second home, and then my brothers were very adamant about me getting back there.
Yeah, yeah. And what was it like getting into swimming? Because I know early on when you pursued the swimming, you wind up inadvertently breaking a world record.
Yeah. that was crazy.
So you didn't even know you were doing it. It just kind of happened.
No, it just kind of happened.
Yeah, yeah. And when you started, you had to go into swimming and the sports, but you also had to face the challenge of entering high school because you had missed so many years. But again, your indomitable spirit shines through. How did you get through the academic and social parts of high school after being, you know, away from that life for so long?
It was rough,
mm-hmm.
But I just kind of kept pushing through, to be honest with you. I mean, kids were cruel, but I realized that when I got home, I had an incredible family that loved me, and I had really special people in my life, and that's all that really mattered.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, I have to say, I was surprised at some of the depth of cruelty that was documented in the book, and I think what it taught you, it seems, is the importance of kindness. What is your reaction now? Just the simple acts of kindness.
I think for me, I mean, kindness is everything. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge believer in that, but I think, you know, to be quite honest with you, it hurt people hurt others, and to pray for those people that hurt you, and to just know that it's an old saying, but treat people the way you want to be treated, because it's a really real thing that we all tend to forget about.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of the lessons of this book, is that, you know, hurt people hurt others, but you were a person who was hurt, but you chose to do the opposite thing and forgive and be kind and loving. So, you know, I think that's something everybody who reads this book is going to get out of it. I'm talking to Victoria Arlen. The book is called Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. Now, when did you decide, you know, you go from swimming for fun, when did you decide you wanted to compete in the 2012 Paralympics in London?
I never thought about it, to be honest with you. I mean, it was always something that kind of was on the back of my mind. I wanted to be an Olympian all my life, and then it just kind of organically fell into place, which is really cool.
Yeah, well, I was really impressed with, you write about your coach, John Ogden, and the faith he had in you. What did that mean to you at the time? How did he guide you through the sport and just kind of this reintroduction to life?
He was the first person that really just kind of took me seriously and believed in me, and that meant the world to me. That was like, I was no longer being put on the sidelines, and that's a whole mindset thing that I think sometimes we need to just be taken off the sidelines, and John was that guy for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at one point, Coach John reminds me of Han Solo in Star Wars, with the advice he gives you, just swim fast, kid. So it's like he's encouraging, but he keeps you humble, too.
Oh, yeah, and it really wasn't until I won a gold medal that he was like, nice job. Like, thanks, coach. My one compliment. So,
you got to love people like that.
Keeps it real. Coach John, we actually just had a big book launch party last night, and John was there. And he's just someone who's just been one of my biggest supporters. He came and he watched me on Dancing with the Stars. He's just, he's family.
Yeah, yeah, and I should say that you did win a gold medal at the Paralympics, and you set a world record in 100-meter freestyle, 1 minute and 13 seconds, which was really impressive, and you really left your mark on that. And, you know, I'm wondering now that you're, you know, you cover you've covered the Special Olympics for ESPN. You took part in the Paralympics. And a lot of times when outsiders look at those events, they see the athletes, you know, as people who are defined by something they lack, by people who have physical and intellectual challenges. But I would imagine being in it the way you were, you really see what those people, what those athletes have instead of what they lack. Would you just talk about that? What is your impressions of all the athletes who participate in those activities?
I think they're athletes, first and foremost. I think we tend to misuse the word inspiration. And these are athletes who work really, really hard and have had challenges that they can't just train, or they haven't just been able to do their sport. They've had to overcome a lot. And so they are to be just as respected, if not more, as athletes without disabilities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know one of the things that took a major part in your recovery was a program called Project Walk. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Project Walk has been, my parents actually opened up the first one on the East Coast.
Oh.
And it is, we own Project Walk Boston, and it is just an incredible place of healing, and it's where I learned to walk. It's where my trainers really took the ball and ran with it. And it's activity-based therapy.
Okay. Now, that was essentially what kind of set the groundwork, I would assume, for your eventual participation in Dancing with the Stars, right? Was that a long-term goal of yours, Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, it was. I think it was always just kind of a fun goal for me. And then it became a reality a year ago, which is so crazy. So, I think it was always just a fun thing that my trainer would say. And that it just became a reality, and so it was pretty surreal.
Now, how long after you got out of the wheelchair did Dancing with the Stars happen?
A year and a half.
So that was pretty quick, because I remember even you talked about sometimes you had trouble feeling your legs when you were on the dance floor. So how did you get through that?
Yes. I have an incredible dance partner. Malcolm Tocci was incredible. He really, really helped me and took this extraordinary situation and made it into something amazing, turned it into something amazing. And so he was definitely the brains behind all of it.
Yeah. I mean, are you, does a good coach essentially know when to push and know when to pull back? Is that what you've had with your coaches, be it Val Schmerkovsky or Coach John?
Yes. I think being able to push and to believe in you is tremendous. It's something that I think we all need in our lives, and Val and John were those two people for me that inspired me.
Yeah. And I should say that Val Schmerkovsky has written the foreword to the book, Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. I'm talking to Victoria Arlen. She's an ESPN on-air personality. Now, how did that job come about?
I had gone down there for a couple media interviews as well as a speech, and then they asked me if I had considered a job in broadcasting, to which I said no. And then I watched a live taping of SportsCenter and fell in love with the environment, with the people, and just started job shadowing, and that eventually led to getting my first opportunity.
Really? And that was one of your first opportunity? Was that the one where you met one of your idols, Michael Phelps?
Yes, he was my first interviewee, which is like casual.
Okay,
it's Michael Phelps. he was my first interviewee, and that was really, really incredible.
Right. I'm talking to Victoria Arlen. Her book is Locked In, The Will to Survive and the Resolve to Live. Now, you know, in the book, we learned that you and God have been through some real ups and downs. What is your relationship with God like now?
Oh, God is part of my everyday life. He is someone who has blessed me in more ways than I can even begin to imagine and describe, and I'm just completely, incredibly grateful to be a child of the Most High God.
Sure. You know, we talked about the rest of your family before, and since we're talking about God the Father, let me just quickly touch on your earthly father, because I know that you write in the book that, you know, you had there were some issues with him along the way, but when you came out of with the sled hockey, it kind of brought the two of you closer together. What's your relationship with your dad like now?
Oh my gosh, he's my best friend. My dad is single-handedly my best friend, and my parents are actually just in town for a couple days, and him and I are always getting into shenanigans and adventures. He's amazing. I absolutely adore him.
so much. I'm so grateful for him, and I just really love him to pieces.
Right, right. Well, at the Christophers, who are the sponsors of the show, everything we do revolves around this idea that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness, and your life certainly reflects that ideal. So I'm curious, when you hit times of darkness now, how do you light that metaphorical candle in order to move forward to a brighter future?
I'm very thankful that I have some really incredible light workers in my life that when they see that I'm, you know, in a tough space, they step up and they're there for me and they believe in me and they really, really help me. And so leaning on the ones I love the most and just knowing that God is bigger is a huge part of what keeps me going.
Right, right. All right, final question. What are your hopes for people who read Locked In, The Will to Survive and The Resolve to Live?
I hope people have hope. I hope people know that life is a series of climbing mountains and you just have to keep climbing even when it hurts, even when it's tough. And I hope that, you know, you can literally hit rock bottom. In my case, I've hit it multiple times, but you can also have these extraordinary challenges and have this extraordinary life.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Victoria Arlen about her memoir, Locked In, The Will to Survive and The Resolve to Live. I've read a lot of books in my years doing this show, but this is really one of the best. I mean, it both shocked me at times in terms of what Victoria had to endure and what people were doing to her, some of the cruelty she faced. But yet the ultimate message of the book is one of hope. It's one of faith. It's one of the resilience of the human spirit, and is just such a powerful, compelling read. Once I started, I couldn't put it down. So congratulations on writing such a powerful memoir, Victoria. And thanks for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much. That means the world to me. Thank you.
Now, before we end today's show, here's another message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The grace of God has a way of sneaking up on us. And if we're not paying attention, it might even slip right past us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Opening Yourself to God's Grace. It will help you become more aware of the moments in your life when God makes his presence known in unexpected ways. Moments that can draw beauty out of brokenness and allow you to experience the depths of his love. To request your free copy of Opening Yourself to God's Grace, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.